Well, another good game by the New York Knicks. They took care of their food tonight, obviously. They didn't play no games. Well, they played games with the Memphis Grizzlies. Felt like the Knicks wasn't playing as tough as they should in the first quarter. But they got it done tonight. So it's two gentlemen right now, I think, since the trade that has been impressing me a lot. Shoutouts to iHeart and my guy, Deuce McBride. Deuce McBride has to be in the title tonight. He deserves more love. I think Knicks fans who say that we need a backup guard, I think you have to stop saying that. I think that's a ridiculous notion that they need a backup guard. The Knicks right now have a starting point guard. They have their backup point guard. They have their backup shooting guard. The backup shooting guard is Dante DiVincenzo. They don't have a starting shooting guard. They have a starting small forward and a starting power forward. They also have a starting center. The backup spots for those three is still in question. But the backup point guard spot should never be a question. Absolutely not. Deuce McBride, 19 points tonight. It was at one point in his game, I believe he was 5 for 5 until he missed his first shot. And the takeaways, I was going to get into, like, notes and stuff, because usually I get into notes and, you know, I try to explain the game. I don't really feel like doing that tonight. It's kind of late. Tonight, I just wanted to get into some of the key points that I've seen from the New York Knicks tonight. The first point that I personally seen tonight, the Knicks need another ball. They need another playmaker. They need another ball handler. And when I say ball handler, I mean that in the most sincere way. I'm watching Deuce McBride and Quentin Grimes and these guys try to play make in the first half. And it's a hard watch. Watching Julius Randle by himself with no Jalen Brunson, it's a hard watch. Dante DiVincenzo is not a playmaker. Let's not ask him to do that. OG Anunoby is not a playmaker. Right? And he had a quiet 20 points. Remember I told you about them quiet 20 points from OG Anunoby? You will always love those. If OG Anunoby scores 20, you most likely win the game because that is going to be very quiet. He had a quiet 20 points tonight. And you're watching the first half. You're watching Dante DiVincenzo throw the ball over guys' heads. You're watching Deuce McBride not get into the paint. Well, it took him a minute. It took him about two to three quarters to finally get in the rhythm of the game. But you're just watching these guys, and they're not – the playmaking is not there. Then giving the ball to Julius Randle. Don't get me wrong. Like, I understand why you would give him the ball the majority of the possessions right now as the team is currently constructed. But if you're watching the way he plays without Brunson, even with the bench, it's a bad watch. And it's been a bad watch for like 2-3 weeks now. And I don't want to see Randle with the bench no more. I don't want to see him out there trying to play make by himself. I prefer for Tibbs to try to get iHeart out there and try to have him play make even more. But we have to get another playmaker. That's one of the main things I've seen from tonight's game that the Knicks need. Mind you, Jalen Iverson did not play tonight. And Deuce McBride definitely put on a show. Like, he definitely played well. There's nothing against my guy, Deuce McBride. At the same time, the playmaking, just the playmaking in at certain spots and areas, man, the Knicks need that at an elite level in order to progress in the playoffs. And we don't have enough of that on this Knicks roster. And anybody who's asking OG Anunoby, a championship fourth option, hey, guy, go playmate. That's wrong. That's false. That's not fair to OG Anunoby. He's not a playmaker at all. He's never been. He never will be, and I'm never going to ask him to do that. Never, ever. So the Knicks got to make sure, to me, in my opinion, that they go get a guy like DeJounte Murray and DeJounte Murray comes in, starts at the shooting guard spot or the point guard spot, whichever in the case may be, and you bring Dante DiVincenzo off the bench. Now, your bench backcourt is Dante DiVincenzo and Deuce McBride. That makes sense. Now, who's your bench backup three? I like Josh Hart. He's been dog shit this year. I don't like, he's just, I know he won tonight, but like, my God, Josh Hart. Come on. You got to be more consistent, especially offensively. Offensively is where you got to make your money at. I know you could do a lot of the things, the intangibles, the diving on the court and all the fucking rebounds and this, that, third. Offensively, when you're making $80 million plus, offensively, you have to be sound. You have to be. So, Josh Hart, the backup three, okay, cool. We need a backup four and a backup five still. The backup five probably be manned by Mitchell Robinson when he comes back. I don't know if we're going to fill that role until then. Precious tonight for the first time. Like, he just looked lost. He had a bad game tonight, in my opinion. Even though we still won, I felt like it was a it was shots like he let get away from him. And I don't like that. But hey, he just got here, so I'm not going to really harp on him like that. But shout out, you know, shout out to Tom Thibodeau, too, for trusting in Deuce McBride, man. I noticed that Deuce McBride, he played a lot of extended minutes today. And I like the fact that Deuce McBride has been hitting his three-point shot. I think if he stays consistent with hitting his three-point shot, then the Knicks should think about possibly. No, they would never do that. Let me not even mention that. Anyways, Charlotte, what's up? The Knicks win tonight. And one more thing, too. Like, Julius Randle, like, yo, his first half like that where I'm thinking about the playoffs, and I'm like, yo, we have to make sure this guy has the most talent around him possible to succeed. I don't want to hear no excuses at all this year playoff. If y'all don't want to blame Randle, if he plays bad, cool. Let's all get the coach fired. Because that's who I ultimately want out of here, even before Randle. I want the coach gone. Because I think once the coach is gone, the offense and everything after it would be fine. But something that I pulled up the other night, and no, I'll be looking into numbers sometimes when I have downtime. When people say the Knicks run a heavy ISO offense, it's just not true because I just seen the numbers recently. And the team that runs the most ISO in the NBA right now, I believe, is the Los Angeles Clippers. The reason why the Knicks offense looks so clunky is because of the guys dribbling the air out the fucking ball. Ihart, he gets the ball. He makes reads, directs passes. Sometimes Randle, sometimes he thinks too much. And you don't want Randle in a situation where he thinks too much. So this is why I'm calling for DeJounte Murray. His usage rate right now in the Hawks, I believe, is a 24.6. Dante DiVincenzo usage rate since the OG Anunoby trade is around 21. Quentin Grimes' usage rate is around 19-something. So I think if you lowered Dante DiVincenzo's usage rate, lower it to around 14, 15, just make him primarily a catch-and-shoot guy. Let him do what he does best, and you bring in another guy who can playmake, a guy like DeJounte Murray, I think that will allow the offense to flourish. And I seen another stat with Jalen Brunson. I wrote about this in an article that I wrote recently. Today, actually, I'm going to plug it in the Jumbotron. But Jalen Brunson, I believe, is shooting 45% on catch-and-shoot threes. And yes. 41%.
You have the correct. No, it's 40 and 45, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's 40. Yeah, 40, 45. And he's shooting very well, even in two-point shots, too. I believe on his catch-and-shoot from two-point shots, I believe, is 45% as well. No, I believe it's actually greater, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it's like around 55%. If I'm not mistaken, but I like the fit with DeJounte and Jalen and the rest of the squad. And yeah, Charlotte, that's all I got.
Yeah. What's up, State? What's up, D-Stan? Everyone else in the space? Apologize for no halftime. I see that Deej had a halftime space though, but I apologize on my behalf for not having that. But I was really impressed with Deuce McBride today. Just genuinely just stepping up and showing that he really wants these minutes and he's trying to prove a point. 19.6 rebounds, 5 assists, 7 of 10, 4 of 7 from 3. He's really improved with his shot and his confidence, but I really think it's all about confidence for Deuce. When he shoots with confidence, it kind of changes the game. Isaiah Hartenstein, 28 rebounds. It's like, I don't even know what to say about this guy because I know Michael Scotto DM'd me and said that Bobby Marks sent 13 to 14 million for iHeart for a contract extension, but I think that maybe he could be going for more. You know, it really depends what he does in the playoffs, but the Knicks, especially, you know, you got Mitch coming back in the playoffs, but I really would make it priority to re-sign Isaiah because there's going to be a team in the NBA that's going to sign him to a starting center contract. But good win for the Knicks. It shouldn't have been as close as it has been. It should have won by more than 12, but shout out to GG Jackson on the Grizzlies. 9 of 14, 20 points for him. The Knicks, if you remember, we talked a lot about, I think that was Deej who talked a little bit about him, but the Knicks actually met with him for a draft visit to, you know, because there are a little bit of ties there. The Knicks, I think it's World Wide West, someone correct me if I'm wrong, that has a connection to GG, but he looked really, really good today, especially, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies are very injured. They had like half of their roster and their main players out. So props to him for showing off. He is on a two-way contract, so he's trying to get that standard contract, but that's just one note on the Grizzlies. But the Knicks played well tonight. You know, there are, you know, they're going to make mistakes. I loved what I saw from Malachi Flynn. I'm not sure why he didn't play in the second half. Kind of questionable decision, in my opinion, especially he was cooking. He only missed one shot. He had 9 points, 3 assists, 1 rebound in 10 minutes. We sometimes used to say this about, players when they were starting their career as a rookie, and they would only be getting 10 minutes, but they would be getting a big high usage of points. But, Steve, I agree with you about Hart. He's pretty inconsistent, but he's playing his role. He had 8 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. In 29 minutes. I think, again, what I say for Miles McBride is the same for Josh Hart. He needs to knock down those threes with confidence. He only took 4. He shot 50% from downtown today, which is great, but just want to see a little bit more from him. Jude just did what he did, 24 points, 11 rebounds. But overall, the Knicks, I think they played well. I just definitely a couple things to clean up, but they did shoot 48% from the floor. And I think what really sticks out to me is they had 23 turnovers, and got to clean that up. Unacceptable. That was one of my notes, and the Knicks, 52-point paint points, I was happy with that too. But again, I think OG, 18 points. Whenever OG gets the ball in his hands, I've been saying this for a couple games now, get the ball in OG's hands. I just want him to feel included and, you know, get the offensive role because – you know, he was complaining that he didn't get enough touches in Toronto. So we need to feel him, make him include. But anyone that's saying that he probably won't re-sign here or he'll just go walk back to Toronto, please, he's not doing that. They wouldn't trade all this draft capital, especially with what came out today, State. I don't know if you saw, but there were two offers on the table for Toronto. They could have RJ in picks, and then they could have RJ IQ in a second. So those were the two offers for Toronto. And then Atlanta wanted IQ and a first-round pick for DeJounte Murray. So in all honesty, if they took the first deal with just RJ and picks, we could really be seeing it. We could have saw a roster with just DeJounte and OG being added if they didn't trade IQ to the Raptors. So again, they spent IQ on the Raptors, but again, Landry Fields wanted it. If you look at what they were looking at, both of these reports were by Jess S. Barahenny, who was a Raptors reporter, and then also the DeJounte Murray thing was on NBA Central. I forgot. It's Mike from the Atlanta beat reporter, I'm pretty sure. So again, if we didn't trade IQ to Toronto, DeJounte Murray probably would have been a Knick. But again, I still don't see it right now happening, especially now IQ's off. But if they're willing to offload maybe 3 first-round picks unprotected, maybe we're in the conversation. But, you know, DeJounte is being talked about right now to the Lakers. But again, just to recap, there was, if you didn't spend IQ on the Raptors, I totally could have seen him being traded, because I would have a different outlook. If they didn't trade IQ to Toronto and we were sitting here today and being like, okay, we still have IQ to trade, then I'd be like, okay, maybe we can get DeJounte, but it's just a little harder now.
But Leon,
I think Masai really valued IQ, and he was willing to let go of an unprotected first to get IQ, because IQ is worth at least an unprotected first, in my opinion. Well, he is, I think, but basically there were two offers on the table for Toronto. They took the one with RJ, IQ, and a second, and Landry Fields wanted a IQ and a first round pick for DeJounte, and they were kind of mulling it over, and then they did the OG trade first, and they just wanted OG. But I don't see us, especially with that report coming out today, I really don't see us getting DeJounte.
Oh, so Leon Rose fucked up then?
I don't think he realized that Masai, I think he didn't think that Masai was just going to take a second round pick.
Let's rewind.
Okay.
He fucked up. Could have traded RJ and them boys for Donovan Mitchell, Spider-Man. You didn't do that. You went around. You could have had OG and DeJounte Murray on this roster right now at this very moment.
Correct. You could have.
If you would have picked the first deal with RJ and picks and then used quickly in a second deal to go get DeJounte Murray. So now that he fucked up.
That's not a takeaway from tonight's game. Like, this is a post-game show, so.
Yeah, but you try to sell me on trade. So basically you
the way I looked at it was the Knicks didn't want to give up those picks.
Correct.
Well then they don't want to fucking
make the deal.
They didn't want to give up those picks, Steve.
Plus, yeah, they don't want to give up the picks plus the Detroit pick.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Because your state, that Detroit pick is basically a first.
Yeah, that deal would already happen.
Listen,
we still have Utah. I want to go to him.
I'm good. Y'all trying to sell somebody on the unsellable right now.
You also have that second round pick number 37 from Utah.
What second round pick going to do for me when Randall's 29 and Brunson is 27?
Well, if someone told you that we'd be getting Mitchell Robinson in the second round, that if he didn't get injured, be up for defensive player of the year, you probably wouldn't believe me either.
It's an early pick, too.
It's early.
I respect what y'all saying right now. He fucked up. You go to the next speaker.
Okay.
Yo.
Go ahead.
I think Deej is or Core is next.
Steady. Ready to go. Andrew, you gotta wait, bro.
Alright, that's fine.
Core or Deej?
Deej, go ahead.
Sure. All right. Cool. First and foremost, peace and love to the chat gang. You got 105 in here, so shout out to the Knick Nation. You know what I mean? I'm gonna save that trade talk for the end, man. Everyone came to talk about the game. You know, this is how you get people turned off when we start with the trade talk. So let's talk about the game first, and then we could get to that trade talk after. For me, and this is for me, only for me, shout out my boy Gigi Jackson, youngest player in the draft. Try to tell Charlotte, try to tell everybody who he was and what he's about. You know, and I thought he played excellent. He's been in a G League, did his thing, ended the game. Literally having a bucket per minute, 27 minutes, 20 points, 9 for 14. Shout out to the Grindhouse community. Shout out to my man Grindhouse. He's running his spaces right now. I got love in Memphis. I was there for the opening night last year. So I definitely have respect for Taylor Jenkins and Tayshaun Prince and what they're doing over there in Memphis. With that being said, Knicks was playing down to their competition in the first half. I think they really thought it was going to be a cakewalk when they saw all those players, you know, in basically – street clothes. So hopefully going forward they don't keep it like that. I'm just speaking specifically on the first half. Other than that, like, shout out, obviously we got to start with iHeart. Shout out to iHeart, man. Monster, man. This is not a Mitch diss. Like, we got to stop saying, like, two things can exist at once. We don't got to talk about Mitch every time we talk about iHeart. Mitch ain't here right now. Hope he gets better. Hope his mental is right. But I'm just talking about iHeart specifically. iHeart is a fucking monster, and he should not lose his starting role whenever Mitch comes back. Period. I said what I said. because the passing, the floor spacing, the way that he's able to relocate in the paint and outside the paint, it does, first off, it does wonders for us, like specifically, because not a lot of people relocate off this team. You saw it tonight. You got people bumping into each other around the three-point line. McBride and Dante did that a few times. OG and Dante did that a few times. Josh Hart and McBride did that a few times. So hopefully going forward, iHeart stays right there in that big middle, man, because 20 rebounds is not something that you could sneeze at, especially when he did it twice. Hasn't missed a game yet since he signed with the Knicks. So I'm all for – and he played basically, what, he had 43 minutes, 42? I'm all for iHeart being the starter for the rest of the season. Once the offseason happens, we could see what it's at. Let Tibbs dictate whoever wins that battle. Randle, man, listen, I know the topic of conversation is going to be Randle. I'm going to say this, and hold on, State, before you – just hear me out, because I'm with you. I want to make Julius Randle's life as comfortable as possible. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is that when you don't have the playmaking around him, he needs to dominate the ball because he just don't trust it. Straight up, he just don't trust it. Where if nobody else can get into that paint like how Brunson can, Julius is going to put it upon himself as the second best player on his roster. Some would argue the first. It doesn't matter to me. But he's going to put it upon himself like any other second-tier option to do what he has to do in the NBA. And, yes, he had those six turnovers, five at halftime. But I need somebody else to control the ball to make him feel like I don't have to dominate the ball. Because when Brunson's out there, he's willing to give it up. No disrespect to Deuce. He had his career high. No disrespect to Dante. No disrespect to Josh Hart, OG. But they're not playmakers. They're assist men off the system. So shout out to Deuce for doing his thing. Shout out to Juju. Dante was kind of off with the three-point shot. This is why we keep on saying, yes, we understand the chemistry is good, but at the same time, when he's off, he's off. When he's ready, when he's real, he's real. So with that being said, I'm gonna land my plane with these last two specific things that I want to talk about. Specific, and I'm keeping it Knicks only. So when I say this, it's not about the other guys that are not Knicks anymore. I'm good with OG. OG could have had 20 if Tibbs did take him out and put in Josh Hart. Probably would have ended the game with 24, to be honest with you, because now he's starting to get comfortable. He's starting to get real, real comfortable. So shout out to OG for finally, like, again, it's the way he gets it. He doesn't demand the ball. He just plays through the system, and he still gives you the same efficiency, the same production, the same floor spacing, the same defense, night in and night out. So big ups to OG for that. And as far as trades are going, we need a third playmaker, man. Like, this is against the G League team, Memphis Grizzlies. This is no start. None of them started in the regular season except for Luke Kennard. So with that being said, I hear what Charlotte said about the whole IQ thing. Like, they could have had IQ and a pick for DeJounte. For me, I get it. State saying they failed. For me, I'm saying to be determined. Because we still got 3 weeks left. Now they got to dictate because we don't know how many picks it was going to be for RJ, for OG. Could have been 3-4 picks with RJ. That's a bad trade. That's a bad trade. So I got to make sure that we understand both sides. We hear RJ and picks for OG. We don't know how many picks that could have been. If it would have been RJ and 3 picks for OG, that's bad. Then everyone would say Leon fucked up. So with IQ and a pick for DeJounte, okay, that's a conversation. Now let's see if he could get that to 2. Yeah, I think he's trying to figure out right now, like, what am I willing to give up? 2 and Grimes? Maybe 3 with Evan? That's neither here nor there. So I'm going to land my plane. Everybody enjoy the game. I hope you enjoy the win. We're off for the weekend. But let's not just say, again, State, I know how you feel, so this ain't towards you. Let's not just say he fucked up when it's to be determined. DeJounte Murray's still in an Atlanta Hawk uniform. They got their ass kicked by the Washington Wizards, and everybody played. So to be determined still. Because the Lakers, I was in a Lakers space. Shout out to Lakers. Shout out to Guru, OVO Show, all those people over there in the LA community. They're trying to figure out if they want to give up Austin Reeves. And the Lakers are still trying to figure out if they want to give up Austin Reeves because it's not going to be D'Lo and Rui. That's not enough. And one pick, it's not enough. So let's see where it goes. Let's talk about the game. First, and then We keep it moving, man. We keep it rolling.
Keep it game talk. Keep it game talk.
Hey, DJ, are we doing Nick at Night?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. We're doing Nick at Night as soon as State and Charlotte end their space. Okay. Whatever that is.
Yeah, I'm going to make this all. Make this fast tonight. I ain't going to really try to keep y'all here the whole night.
Let's just keep it game talk. No, like, save the trade for Eddie and DJ Spitz. So keep it game talk. We'll go to Corey next because he was next in line.
Yeah, I don't feel like talking about Malcolm Brogdon. Bismack.
Corey, what's up? What'd you think of tonight's game? Knicks won by 12.
What's up, Charlotte? What's up, State? Deej. Honestly, that first half was probably the worst basketball I've seen the Knicks play. Like, honestly, my entire time as being a Knicks fan, and I've seen horrible starting lineups before, because if you just add the context to everything and where this team's at and where Memphis is at right now, that first half should not have happened. And it just goes to the fact of, like y'all were saying, we need a playmaker like yesterday. Watching this team in the first half is like your mom leaving the kids with the uncle that she cannot trust, but she has no other options, and she's praying that her oldest son or oldest child basically becomes a parent when they're with the uncle. That's literally what it is. Julius Randle is that uncle that you do not want to leave unsupervised, because for whatever reason, everyone just follows his leads and just does too much bad passing. Nobody knows where to cut, and it was horrible. I'm glad they got their shit together in the second half and showed that obviously they're on a different tier. But that first half was just so diabolical that I'm still just like, I was dumbfounded how bad it was, especially those back-to-back-to-back turnovers. It was horrible. But on the positive side, I love what I saw from Deuce McBride. Like, one of my issues with Tom Thibodeau through his career is, like, not giving younger players an opportunity in situations like today where, you know, Jalen Brunson's out. Let Deuce run around and see what he can do. And look, he delivered for them. He delivered. Same thing with I know he's not been playing, but like, I would have liked to see more minutes from Jericho Sims during this whole period. But obviously, he tweaked his ankle and still not back, because I don't need to see any more Precious Achiuwa. I'm sorry. I would rather see those minutes by Jericho Sims, see what the hell he can do, getting constant minutes. But I liked what I saw from Deuce McBride. He was the light spot of this whole debacle of the first half. And obviously, no, you don't really have to say much about Isaiah Hartenstein. That dude's literally the anchor for our defense and the rebounds. He's just a monster. And I do agree with the sentiment that once Mitch comes back, I think he should come off the bench to start off. But up until then, this is basically Hartenstein's job to lose, honestly. So yeah, there's not really too much I really want to talk about basketball-wise with this game, because it was more of just like an effort and energy as to why it kind of got the way it did. But other than that, the Knicks need to just kind of, you know, yeah. Basically, I'll end it with this. One thing that I do like about this game and how it kind of turned out was that it kind of put the bed a little bit, the notion that Jalen Brunson doesn't make his teammates better, because you saw the effect of him not being on the floor or even just being present to play in the game. Like, they were just it was like a completely different team without Brunson on the floor. So he does add value to this team, not in the sense that he's like a Chris Paul or anything like that, but he does add value and make his teammates better by simply setting the tone and helping other guys get into their spots. So that's all I got. But yeah.
Yo, good take, man. I think one of the words you was missing was gravity.
Yes, that's what the word is. Yes, yes.
The gravity that young man has to receive from defenses is amazing to watch. I got my guy Eddie Brutus up here. I got my guy Andrew up here. Eddie, what's up, man? Yo, Eddie, man, most definitely I'm making it. This going to be a quick one today.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm mentally exhausted. I'm not going to hold you up. I'm super exhausted. I've been writing all day. I've been working mad days straight since I came back from Africa, bro.
I like, feel the grind, bro. I get you.
But what's your take today, man?
We'll stick to the game, man. Look, yeah, man, this was a tale of two halves, all right? The first half, the Knicks were sloppy. They play disgusting basketball. They turn the ball over 14 times. But give the Knicks credit. The Knicks came out in the second half, and they strangled the Memphis Grizzlies, all right? They came out shooting hot. The Knicks shot 12 of 20 in the third quarter. That's 60%. Held Memphis 7 of 20 in the third quarter. That's 35%. Also, the game was won in the third quarter. The Knicks outscored Memphis 30 points to 15. That was huge. That was absolutely huge. Also, the Knicks defense, all right? They held the Knicks, they held the Grizzlies to 1 3-pointer in the second half. Memphis shot 1 of 17 from the three in the second half. So great job there by the defense. Also, got to shout out the Knicks with the rebounds. The rebounds was big. Knicks 62 rebounds. Memphis only had 40. Knicks also had 15 offensive rebounds tonight. Stars of the game. Iheart, 12 points, 20 rebounds, 7 offensive rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. OG Anunoby, 18 points, 5 rebounds. But what I like, 4 blocks. And obviously, Miles McBride, 19 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Great game by them. Those were my stars of the game. Lastly, shout out to the Whites, baby. Iheart. Again, I'll repeat it. Double-double, 20 rebounds, ties a career high. Dante DiVincenzo, 10 third-quarter points. He shot us back into the game. And my boy Malachi Flynn, 9 points in 10 minutes. Shout out to the White boys. I'll leave it there.
Shout out to Malachi Flynn, too. Definitely played a wonderful first half. Did not see no time in the second half. MSG Politics is undefeated, man. Got to make sure.
Real quick,
Eddie, man, you got to be careful with the, you know, the Whites
real,
too much.
Why?
Real quick, but he good, man. On behalf of the Black
Panthers,
he good.
Hey,
No. I'm saying sound the White power.
Hey,
no,
shout out to the Whites. Come on.
I muted everyone just for letting
We probably did it at the same time.
I see everyone laughing. Everyone thought that was Stan. It was me. Because I
fucking clown. Come on, Stan.
No.
It's a clown shit.
No.
I allowed Eddie to start that about 4 weeks ago.
Do you guys see what I have to deal with on Twitter sometimes? It's ridiculous. Come on.
The fuck is wrong with you? Now you get... you with the you what? Pro black right now. You get, come on.
They just turn the black nose out through your mouth. Come on. In through your nose, out
what
through your mouth.
Damn.
We can all do it together. DeJounte Murray's not going to be a Nick.
Yo. You making jokes, but I want to win a chip. Ain't nothing to joke about.
No, I want to be mediocre for the rest of my life. And when I'm 90 years all right, old, telling my great grandchildren. I used to be on that app.
Hey, real quick.
Not doing this
state,
shit.
State, real quick. I do agree with you. MSG Politics is undefeated. But listen to me. Mm-hmm. You would much rather see your kid over a mercenary, correct?
That's a fact. That's why I'm not complaining.
Okay.
That is a flying fact. But Brutus, what's up, OG? How you feel about the game tonight, man? The big German iHeart once again, man. I keep telling y'all I'm 20% German, man. I told y'all this months prior. I keep telling y'all this. Fuck it today. iHeart is untouchable. You cannot allow this man to walk this summer. If you allow him to walk, there's no way you're replacing that production, especially if you're going to keep Tom Thibodeau. So, Brutus, what's up?
Yo, man. Hey, what's up, family, man? This was a real, crazy game, man. It's like they didn't learn their lesson from the Dallas game, and they came out flat a little bit, but at least they got their bearings right together and got the dub, which is the most important thing. Those guys was playing, though. I tip my hat off to Memphis. They really could have just rolled over and what have you, but they continued to play and fight hard, even though they lost one of their 9 guys really early, you know, but they still kept coming at us, man. And Eddie, I think you said that iHeart only had 1 block. He had 4, brother. He had 4 blocks. OG also had 4. So both of these guys was blocking shots like crazy. you know, shout out to them. Shout out to the big German. Like you said, man, he's doing his daggone thing. I have always been a proponent that even when Mitch returns, that he should come off the bench at least for the rest of this year. Let them work all that shit out next year. I still think we could have both of them on this team next year for the price of what one, you know, like superstar type of, well, not even superstar, one star type center, like a DeAndre Ayton, who's making like $37 million. If those two make under $37 million, I think both of them, we could probably have both for under $35 million, maybe $35 million. So,
I'm going to shoot you a question. Let's stay on the mid subject, right?
Yes, sir.
Combine those two in the one center. Who would that center be? Would it be Adrius? I don't want to butcher his name. Would it be Sabonis Pops?
Oh, wow. Wow. Sabonis Pops didn't have the athleticism of Mitch, but, man, that boy could pass, man. I mean, I Hart don't have nothing on his passing. I don't know if they get that good, man, because that guy was an absolute beast, especially when his career was overseas. When he came here, we only seen a shadow of what he was when he was playing in Europe. And he definitely used to give it to us when it was that, you know, the USA and all of that, when they used to play us, man, he used to give it to us. So I don't know if I would say it that good, Sabonis good. But they definitely do make a very viable number one center when you combine the both of them. And what iHeart is doing now, he is distinguishing himself. Nobody could front on that. But I still like the problem and the fact that Mitch doesn't make a ton of money. He wasn't even really making starting centers money, really, in my opinion. A lot of the centers like him don't make much money, but, you know, when you look at the top centers in the league, he was making a fraction of what they was making. Like, look at Gobert. If we was using a comp from Mitch as Gobert, like, Mitch was aspiring to try to be like Gobert, and Gobert is making like 40-something million, and Mitch was like 15. So, you know what I'm saying? So, and his contract is going down. But other than that, I wish we would have seen a little bit more Malachi Flynn. I like what he was doing in that first half. I don't know why Thibodeau seen that he had to play Deuce McBride 24 minutes in the second half. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Preston Achiuwa also didn't play in the second half. And I don't think we seen much of Grimes in the second half. So I don't know if he was blaming it on those guys that of the reason why we was playing lethargically, and it really wasn't none of their fault. I mean, Grimes didn't shoot well, at least that I seen. Go ahead, question or something.
My conspiracy theory for Grimes not playing a lot of minutes is because Atlanta called the Knicks and told them don't use Grimes that much.
See,
trade talks right now, and you just had to throw Grimes out there to just make sure that the world see that he's alive. So Deuce McBride, on the other hand, he's going to be in the rotation for the rest of the season. So since he's in the rotation for the rest of the season, Tibbs has to make sure he gets all the necessary minutes possible to get that young man ready for April, especially with him and iHeart. So that's what I got.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say to Charlotte, you know, about the, you know, DeJounte thing and the fact that we no longer have Quickly. Well, Atlanta was very interested in Quentin Grimes, so why wouldn't he just take the place of Quickly? So I don't even really understand that, why Atlanta would have been so thirsty when they already have a point guard and would have had to pay Quickly right after this year when they could get Quentin Grimes, have him under control and actually use him in a position that they need next to Trae Young, is since they're not looking to trade Trae Young. So I don't really get that whole theory that Charlotte was bringing up with, you know, the fact that we didn't have Quickly
anymore is the reason why we don't have DeJounte yet. I don't buy that at all.
Can you say that the Hawks are possibly considering moving Trae Young, and you could have had Quickly who could step right in for Trae Young over this summer? Like,
okay, I got to understand that. If they move Trae Young, then you good. Yeah.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying? They already spoke about trading DeJounte Murray, right? So you already heard a rumbling. They spoke about trading Trae Young. I already told y'all.
They could keep, if they trade Trae Young, why not just keep DeJounte Murray? That doesn't make sense. They have him under a reasonable contract. If they did trade Trae Young to the Spurs, which there was a report out saying that Trae Young would be open to that so he could team up with Victor Wembanyama. If they was to do that, then why then keep DeJounte on the market? To me, that takes him off the market, in my opinion.
This is how I fuck your head up. So you got to think like a diabolical genius when teams do this stupid-ass shit, right? So remember I told you I would trade Trae Young? If I was the Hawks, I would trade Trae Young to the Spurs for their top five pick. Because they need a fucking point guard. But there's so many avenues you could go about with the Hawks. Because they're already trading DeJounte Murray, right? They're possibly trading Trae Young. Every team in the NBA, this NBA draft is really weak. So if you're a team and you told me, hey, I got this top five pick, I give you this shit for Trae Young, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. If I'm a top five team with a top five pick this year, and the Hawks came to me and said, we'll give you Trae Young for this set pick, I'm doing that deal.
Oh, that's 100%. They should definitely do that deal. The Spurs probably at the end of the season, they would have the money, but they could work it out and still wind up keeping Victor. Like, they could trade Keldon Johnson. They could trade I don't know about Vassell because he's under the poison pill, but there's other things that they could do. That might be something they revisit in the summer. But if that's the case, then why would they still trade DeJounte? I don't know. I don't know why. Especially, I understand that first theory now. If they would have got Quickly, they could have had him as the point guard of the future and still trade Trae Young. But I don't know. I still think that DeJounte is in place. Until he's traded elsewhere, I'm going to think that he's in play. If they keep him, then I would understand that situation too. I don't see him. I think that he would come to the Knicks over the other teams that's out there if our offer is right. That's what it meant. That's all it comes down to. I don't see the Lakers being able to outbid us. And I don't even think we have to outbid ourselves. I think that the Lakers can't match our picks. So if we send them two picks of the right variety, the Lakers already can't match that. Yeah, they would be giving them scrub players. And they don't want to give up, what's the white kid? Reeves. Awesome. They don't want to give them up.
I ain't going to lie. This era is looking like an era where it's going to be, and I'm talking about this decade, matter of fact. It's looking like a decade where it's going to be really hard for you to get a franchise superstar. Like, I don't think there's going to be a lot of, like, generational, oh, my fucking God, wow type of trades going on this decade because the new CBA is coming in. You just watched Jokic win a chip with the team he was drafted to. A lot of teams is not really trying to break up their cores. The Knicks are going to have to find a way. Like, when you watch a game like this, you know you need a playmaker. So the Knicks are going to have to find a way to get an elite playmaker in the building while still trying to build towards the future. Luckily, I'm not the GM of this franchise because Leon Rose got a tough job out of him. The OG Anunoby, as more and more we play with this guy, we're 6-1 with this guy. OG Anunoby's plus 130. I think it's 134 plus minus in his last seven games with us. So it's been great with OG, but the playmaking, like, it is so evident with the Knicks on specific plays or just whole, like, tonight's game. that whole, was it the second quarter? The first quarter was egregious, but the second quarter was sloppy as shit. Dante throwing the ball over people's heads. You got Randle spin moving into three people. Mind you, Randle was going off a little bit in the second quarter, but it still looked nasty because it felt like he was just trying to do too much. And you don't want Randle to try to do too much. You don't want him to do that. So with that said, my guy Brendan, what's up, man?
What's going on?
It's going to be a short show tonight. You know, I'm fucking exhausted. These guys are definitely having the Knicks at Night show tonight. So definitely tune into that once this space is ended. But what's up, my guy, Brandon? How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
We won. That's good enough.
Fair enough. I think that you guys should know. You guys should know Tibbs by now, right? There's no question why McBride played that whole second half. It's because Tibbs wanted to show Leon Rose and them, I don't need a bench piece. He's my backup point guard. This is my guy, the guy that I wanted. This is my backup point guard. Go get me a real starting caliber shooting guard in the building, and I'm starting the movement. I'm no longer asking. Go get me DeJounte Murray. That'll be it.
Appreciate
you. Can we talk about tonight's game, please?
Nobody, yo, Charlotte, we beat the Grizzlies. They got a fucking G League team out there with GG Jackson looking crazy.
Don't disrespect GG Jackson, okay?
Nah, he was good. I like the way he played today. Very tall, 6'9". Looks good on the perimeter, looks very poised, 19 years old, played solid defense. He tried to play solid defense on Randle, had Randle shooting civil rights numbers first half along with the other young Grizzly guys. But overall, Knicks overwhelmed him, which is something they're supposed to do. But I think the Knicks came out with this game, with this W specifically, with more questions than answers. But one of the answers I got tonight that's just cemented in my brain, Deuce is officially the backup point guard. I have no need for one. Absolutely none. I have no need. So I can understand why Tibbs say the typical Tibbs do shit. And Brandon's right. Like,
Tibbs is petty. He wants to prove a point. That's what he wants to do.
He is petty. He wants to prove a point. He wants to feel like he's the big dog in the room. But also, you got to look at what's going on behind the scenes. We know that the Knicks is talking trades right now. You playing Deuce McBride because 24 minutes, you possibly know a trade is going to go down, and you want to give Deuce McBride the most minutes you can possible to just probably show Leon, I got this position already.
What has Deuce McBride not showed you in the last couple games that you're not happy with?
Nah, I love what he's doing.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
I'm asking, like, what quality do you think that he needs to work on that you guys want to go get a backup guard right now?
I don't want to get a backup guard.
Yeah, I don't want to get a backup guard.
Well, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I want a fucking DeJounte Murray at the two.
But you realize because if you get DeJounte Murray at the two and then Dante off the bench, you're not going to be seeing Deuce McBride.
Yeah, because Grimes are going in that deal, so we will.
Takes Grimes. Thank you, Brendan. Deuce is paying. Deuce playing.
Getting a backup guard makes so Deuce doesn't play because you don't give up Grimes in a deal for a backup. And if you do that, I'll be like, State, you gonna hear me.
but yeah, Charlotte, that's basically what it is. Dante DiVincenzo, he replaces Grimes minutes, right? And you don't gotta touch Deuce McBride. Now, you could play Deuce McBride and Murray together. There's many a things you could do with that. But Deuce McBride will not be leaving my rotation. I think he's certified. He plays great defense. I know sometimes it's hard for him to get in the paint, but that's another reason why I want DeJounte Murray, because I know DeJounte Murray will teach him a little bit, along with Brunson, how to get in the paint better. You need talent around you in order.
I'm not saying you should never. You should always look to upgrade the roster. Of course, you always are looking ways to improve your team, but if something broke, don't fix it. Mike, I see you have your hand up.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, that's sad saying. It's 2024. It is not.
It is 2024. Mike, yeah. What's up?
So here's the deal. So if you watch McBride the last couple years, he played off IQ. You know, when IQ played the point a lot, and he can also play off Brunson. So here's what I'm seeing. They've already extended him, and if you see, it's actually a descending contract. So it's 4.7, 4.3, and then $4 million over the next 3 years. If you have a player like McBride who can come in, be a backup point guard or a backup two, and contribute, like with getting that much money, particularly when you're going to have to extend Randall and Brunson, that is a huge cost-effective like player for your team. So I think he's being seen. Even if they trade for DeJounte Murray, it'll probably be Grimes in the deal. Now, Grimes is going to have to extend next year, and I don't know if they're going to want to pay that. So he's only got one more year in a rookie contract, whereas McBride actually has 3 more years after this year, really on what we consider a rookie contract. So McBride, I think, is the player they're going to invest in and have decided to invest in. I don't think he's a trade chip over the summer. I think he's too valuable to the team. I think he's going to be the backup point guard slash two guard. And I think you can still get DeJounte Murray, but Grimes would probably be in the deal. And then McBride moves in still into your nine-man rotation. I think that's how it goes. You just look at his contract. It's a really good contract for a player of his ability. The other thing, I don't know if people have seen this, but if I read on some forums and podcasts, the most the Knicks can offer Hartenstein is like $64 million over 4 years because of his early bird rights. So there's always a possibility another team could come in and give him $100 million or something, and you got to prepare for that. So that's another reason you're definitely not trading Mitchell Robinson at all. Now, I don't know if they can find some creative way. I think Hartenstein is CAA. I'm sure they can do something with that to keep him. But there's a little bit of a question mark there. So they're going to have to prepare for that. I don't know if they could give him a front-loading contract with a fourth-year player option that, you know, can basically increase his overall deal. But that's going to be something to think about. You got to be careful about that. But, yeah, I think McBride's going to be on the team. I definitely see tonight Randall is not a one. He's not a two. He's a three. He can be a second option. But when he's on by himself, it's disastrous. I mean, it's just – oh, my God. I mean, it's just a disaster watching out there. It reminds me of 2 years ago when it was miserable watching this team play.
He even said today – I just posted on LTK, but, like, he even said today, like, he played terrible. I was awful. I was terrible. I'm not going to lie. I was terrible. He had 6 turnovers today.
Yeah, I mean, I that's good. That's good by him to stand up and say it. I mean, I don't – but, you know, two players had a chance to be leaders tonight, McBride and Randall, and one of them passed and one of them didn't. So, it was obvious. In some ways, it was a good thing. We made it very clear to the team and the management, like, what the team needs and what it's missing, and that's fine. I mean, I don't – is DeJounte Murray the answer? Could be. I think he's going to go to the Lakers. I think Levine's going to go to the Lakers. I think that's the whole. I don't even say it, but I think that's the. I think that's what the league wants, basically. I'll leave it at that. But
they're not getting both of them. No way.
Yeah, you better watch it. They might. That's my prediction. Yeah,
a lot of money that they don't got, and a lot of picks they that they don't have.
No, they
could. No, it could happen. It could work. It could happen.
Remember, they got the Levine once out. He isn't Levine. Aren't they all clutch? Levine and Murray and all those guys.
Correct.
We're gonna play.
They don't have enough picks, man. They don't have enough picks.
No, what they have is one unprotected, and they have a bunch of pick swaps they can do, which could be just as viable. So,
in time, because they don't. They definitely don't have enough picks. But
let's see. Let's see what happens. That was fun.
Thank you, Mike.
See you guys.
Yo, what I will say is to everybody who doesn't know, iHeart and I believe it's somebody else on the Knicks right now, but it's iHeart is one of them. Even if we allow Evan Fournier to walk, the Knicks will not have cap space going into next year's offseason. This year's all season due to iHeart and somebody else's cap hold. I just can't think of
State. You're not gonna like to hear this, but the Knicks might actually hold on to Evan Fournier, and which is it's kind of interesting. But if you listen to Bobby Marks, he was saying that there's a timeline for Fournier. If the Knicks let the deadline pass without trading him, he questions or not the Knicks would exercise the team option. But then you have to go pay OG, Hartenstein, and maybe Achiuwa, Or let Fournier go in free agency in July, then who are your tradable contracts? If Fournier's not dealt by the trade deadline, I think there's a good chance that option gets exercised, and then New York figures it out because there's going to be someone else available who's disgruntled. So I think he's going to be staying.
Charlie.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
That's dumb as shit, man.
No, if you think about it, it's actually not dumb because you're going to have a tradable contract.
Absolutely not. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. If you get to the summer, right, and let's just say Donovan Mitchell's available or somebody's available and there are $35 million contract, who are you going to trade? Let's say Hardenstein gets picked up by another team. Let's say that terrible thing happens. You don't have
anyone tradable.
You have nobody. You want to trade them.
$1 million right there.
Yeah, if you want to trade them Hart and DiVincenzo, that might make some fans happy. But that's what the team isn't going to do that. So I've been saying, look, if you want to trade for Malcolm Brogdon, you could probably get him for a few seconds because the Trailblazers have $162 million payroll next year. If they trade Brogdon for an expiring contract, that drops to 140, and that's okay for them. Like, there's no reason for a team that's that bad and developing to have $162 million contract. So you might be able to get Brogdon and his $22.5 million expiring deal next year for like a few seconds and Evan Fournier, and that might be enough. I mean, that just might be enough for them to get rid of him. But I think they need a contract to trade, or else they're. If somebody comes available, they're going to have no contracts to trade, especially if somehow Hardenstein leaves. So,
well,
Evan's
option is not an option. That is ridiculous. If they pick up that man's option, it doesn't make any sense. What do you mean to tell me that they won't trade Josh Hart or Dante DiVincenzo, and they would pick up the $18 million owed to not knowing that there's a trade ready to happen?
They would 100%. They're not.
They would pay that man. And hold on. A man that doesn't want to be here no more. You would hold him on the bench and take another year out of his career.
Yep. They would.
Oh no, they're not doing that.
They're gonna.
Mm-hmm. They're not doing
that. It's not happening,
Charlotte.
Brutus,
not happening.
They're not doing that. I hear what you're saying. Okay. But that's just a smokescreen in case everything. Listen to me. Hold on. Just hear me out. I hear what you're saying. You're reporting the news. We appreciate that. They're not doing that. They're doing that in case everything fails. They don't get Malcolm. They don't get DeJounte. They don't get whoever else they're targeting. That's the last ditch scenario. It's so the Knicks fans can understand, well, at least we tried. They're not trying to keep Evan Fournier.
I was just going to say the exact same thing. If they have to do that, they have to do it. But that would be a failure of the front office by a major margin. That would be a huge failure if they have to do that.
Exactly.
It would
be
embarrassing. I think it's still on the table if they don't get it.
Charlotte, it's 10:10. It's 11:10 at night. I'm not trying to hear that bullshit. Knicks better go all in. You traded my boy RJ Barrett. Traded my boy quickly. I'm not trying to hear Evan Fournier who broke John Stark's record. How is he still on the roster longer than quickly? Like, how the fuck it? Yo, Alex, go ahead, man. I'm not listening.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask.
No, I'm not listening to that, man. Management, if you listening to state takes and all that, do not do that dumb shit Charlotte talking. Please don't.
I'm not saying dumb shit. I'm literally showing you what Bobby.
Do not do that silly shit, Charlotte.
It's not what I would do. It's what Bobby Marks is saying on ESPN.
I don't give a fuck about what Bobby Marks is saying. Give a fuck about no Bobby fucking fuck him. Let's go, Alex.
Yeah, can I? All right, so Bobby Marks made his comments, but what Charlotte didn't say is Bobby Marks prefaced his conversation about this whole Fournier bullshit by saying, quote, someone is going to lose in the playoffs and someone is going to want to break up their group. Who knows who it's going to be? Is it going to be Donovan Mitchell? I don't know. So prefacing any sort of argument about Fournier's option is not only bullshit, but it's all speculation from Marks. This is just a talking head talking bullshit saying there may be some guy who we don't know, some figure in outer space who's going to get angry and eventually want to join the Knicks, and we're going to be able to sort of parlay Fournier for this faceless person. Bobby Marks is a fucking asshole. Fuck him and fuck his evaluations and fuck Evan Fournier. That's all I have to say. Good night and God bless.
Damn.
Hey, I was just in the Memphis community because, you know, I got to show love because Gigi Jackson is Jay from Florida here. Yeah, Jay, the biggest man. Yo, happy anniversary to you and the missus. I'm going to be honest because y'all know I don't really talk my shit. When it comes to this drafting shit, y'all can't fuck with me. I say that in the most respect, disrespectfully and respectfully. I've been hitting when it comes to these draft picks, not gonna lie. So I just want to, you know, do a cocky little confident subliminal message to anybody that feels away.
By the way, what Mike said about iHeart isn't actually true. They could go over the number of his bird rights. They could go over that.
Eddie, don't they own his bird rights, or am I wrong?
They own his bird rights, 100%.
So can't they go over the cap to reset?
Yes, they could go over.
You could go over the cap, but his amount that he could get is only up to a certain amount.
For an extension, yes. Like, if they want to extend him before March, they could only go to a certain number. But if he hits free agency, they could sign him for fucking $70 million if they want to.
Okay.
So, like, that's the thing. Like, you could pay up to 175% of the year before salary. So he's making $9 million. So yeah. 175 on top, but that's like 20-something million a year you could offer him if you wanted to. I'm not saying that they might do that, but if they're going to keep him, they could fucking give him a big offer.
It's good that he's CAA. They definitely can work something out if they really need to.
Oh, real quick. There's no other speakers, right? Let me
there is.
I'll wait until after.
Ralphie, what's up? And then we'll go to Knicks Jets Daddy.
Jet was before Ralph.
Okay.
Yeah, Jazz could go. Jazz was before me.
Yeah, I'm not even
Daddy.
Jet was good, bro. And then we got Ralphie, and then we go on swinging back to D.
When will my Jets be good?
Yeah.
Never, because you guys are waiting for a superstar like the Knicks. You should build your team like Baltimore. I don't want to hear that.
Jet, what's up, bro?
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? What's going on? Just wanted to say I'm super short and quick. I just want to say shout out to Josh Hart. Looked like he'd been practicing a three-point. I'm not going to talk about how bad that game was by him. I think the theme of the year is going to be about that kid. So the fact that it looks like he's been shooting, I never seen him ever shoot the ball so quick in my life, tells me he looked like he was actually doing a shooting drill. So with that being said, that's going to be the theme of the year, because I know he's going to have on and off games, and he's always going to be a topic. He had a off game this game. People were scoring on him. But I like the way he was actually shooting with some confidence, because that's what I actually care about from that guy. You know what I'm saying? The turnovers and all that stuff, I think that's also because he's shooting bad. Personally, I think he's mentally out of it, and I think he's not playing his best game because of how off he is offensively. So hopefully he could figure it out, because I think he's going to be a constant theme of a lot of people's things. And he's on Twitter, so I know he sees it. So I'm going to leave my take right there.
Yeah, his bum ass. I should tag him tomorrow morning. I should. I'm going to leave him alone, though. I'm going to wait. I ain't going to do that. Yo, Ralph the OG, what's up, bro?
What's good, y'all? What's going on, man? Listen, man, at the end of the day, it was, hey, Brutus, is what I told you earlier, right? The G League came out to play hard, and they came out to play hard and scrappy. The Knicks thought they was just walking into a win. And you know what? At the end of the day, the third quarter they came, they finally realized, oh, shit, we got to play ball. And they stepped up tonight. And, you know, Deuce played a good game. But, I mean, everybody is talking about these trade things and all that. Murray's a good a nice piece to have. Me personally, I'm still on the DeRozan thing. The reason why, I'm not saying DeRozan's a monster, whatever, but DeRozan's a 20 a night guy, and he's efficient. Like, I don't want a guy on this team that's going to take shots away from Brunson, going to take shots away even from Randall or whatever the case may be. At the end of the day, like a guy like Mitchell coming in here, he is not efficient. He's just not. Like, he's taking a lot of shots, volume shots. So the ball's not going to be moving freely with a person like that. With a guy like DeRozan that's going just straight mid-range game and getting buckets, like easy buckets, because that's what he does. DeRozan gets easy buckets. Like, that's a guy that I will like. He's long. He could play defense. Like, that's a fit that I think would just be perfect with this Knicks team right now. Like, and is his cap number as high as these other guys? Is that the question? Because no. I really don't know. And I'm not going to, you know, sit here and say, oh, his cap number is high.
No,
he makes $28 million a year.
All right, so like I said, if we could get a package where we could say, chase some draft picks and Evan Fournier, I don't see why that's not a pick. Like, that's not something that we can't do. Chicago's finished. They know it. They're done. Like, they get this aspiring contract from Fournier out the way. I mean, I just think that's the move I would like to see, because I think DeRozan would be, like, he would just fit perfect, and he's long. And just imagine the defensive lineup against Boston in the playoffs that we get there and we play them. You got DeRozan on Brown. You got OG on Tatum. I think that's formidable. Like, that's a formidable combination right there to go up against a team like that. You know, that's just my take.
I like DeMar for the Knicks more than Murray in a playoff setting, because DeMar is like the real vet. He's been an all-star longer, and he's been in the NBA longer than Murray. I take either or, man, honestly, because I could see the fit for either or player. I could light up a blunt right now and literally talk myself into DeMar DeRozan. I could literally talk myself into
Murray.
As far as like DeMar, like, remember months ago when we was talking about DeMar, and I kept telling you, no, I don't want fucking DeMar DeRozan. After they made the trade with RJ, now you can see the fit with DeMar DeRozan on the Knicks. I'm just hoping that the Knicks just get me a high-level talent. It's nothing against Big Paza, a.k.a. my guy Dante DiVincenzo.
But he's perfect for the second unit, State. That's what I'm saying.
He's perfect. He's perfect. He's a guy. He's my shooter. Designated shooter. Guaranteed to get you 2 to 3 threes a game, even on an off night. Go ahead, Charlotte. My bad.
I know Eddie has his hand up, but Ralph, did you finish?
No, my point was, like I said, I agree with State. Like, a DiVincenzo going to the bench just adds another element. And as far as, like, the IQ and all that, I like the IQ, don't get me wrong. But he was another one where he was taking some horrible shots during games. And you don't see that now in the second unit. You really don't. You see the ball moving. Deuce is taking good shots in rhythm and not forcing things. And even Grimes not forcing shots. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's all in rhythm. And that's, you see the difference of him not being on his team on the second unit, where he thought he had to do it all. And the second unit right now is playing as a team. I think more as a team now that IQ ain't there. And that's just my point. That's just my point of view on it. And if you, like I said, if you could add a DeMar or Murray, like State said, I like DeMar because I just think his efficiency fits this team. He doesn't need volume shots to get his. That's all.
Of course, the Dallas Mavericks blow this game, so I don't win my parlay for $500. Of course they do.
Eddie, I see you got your hand up.
No, I'll just say about DeMar. I mean, DeMar's going to cost you the cheapest out of all of them. I mean, besides Brogdon, you know, DeMar's going to come at a price that DeJounte Murray is going to come much, much higher.
Exactly, Ed. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, listen, I've been on this DeMar thing forever. I want DeMar because he's not going to cost unprotected picks. And then you have this chance, if it works out, you could move Randall to be in the third option, which exactly. I wanted to do all along. And then if it works out, maybe you could get him to come to an agreement over the summer, get him on like a 2-year deal to tell him to come here for, you know, like $20 million a year, something like that for the next 2 years. He'll be 35 and 36. I think that works out. And he's still an elite player. And if you're, you know, operating him as your number two, number three, it, to me, it just makes the most sense.
And Alex, he's the type of player, 35, 36, but his game is old. Like, he doesn't have to have the speed for his type of game. He gets his shots. He shoots over guards. Like, he's just a tough – he makes tough baskets look easy. That's what I say.
He's got to, but listen, Chicago just won 4 out of 5, so they're not done yet. So when they got to wave the white flag in order for us to get him.
What I was going to say, you know, after Ralphie State, and this is towards my man Mike. I love that Mike is up here speaking. But, like, yeah, like, hypothetically, we could say that they could get – the Lakers could get LaVine and DeJounte because they're both clutch players. But realistically, trade-wise, they can't do it. So Austin Reeves, D'Lo, and Rui can't be traded till January 15th, ladies and gentlemen. So that's 3 days, well, 2 days in a half an hour from now. With that being said, that those three people that I just named, Rui, Austin, and D'Lo, are $41 million for Zach's 40. Who else are they trading for Atlanta to go get DeJounte Murray? They're not interested in no fucking Cam Reddish. They already played that story. And then, like, you talk of Vanderbilt for DeJounte. So
the only one you can trade is Reeves, right? That would be the only trade.
Listen, if you're trading Austin, D'Lo, and Rui to match Levine's $40 million.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. You're right.
Yes. See, a lot of people don't realize it's not about the fact that they can trade for both. It's about the fact they don't got money for both. Like, it can't be Torian Prince and Vanderbilt for fucking DeJounte Murray. Landry Fields going to hang up the phone on you. Both of those guys are veteran players. So I understand the PTSD of, like, the Lakers getting everybody and the Knicks getting nobody, but ain't no way they could get both of those guys. And Eddie, just so I could, like, make sure I'm right, they only got basically, what, two picks that they could trade due to the Stephion rule?
Yeah, they can't trade picks. I think they have three they could trade, but two of them they could only really deal. And it's not to the late fucking 20s. Talking like the 28 and the 30 pick.
So, yeah. So, historically, I get – Mike is my guy. I love
That's
Mike.
A long way down the road, dude.
But they're not getting LaVine and DeJounte, even if
they are. No.
Can I mention a couple things?
Yes.
They could do Reeves, Russell, Rui Hachimura, and Gabe Vincent and successfully do that trade and add even picks.
The Bulls not taking that, Mike. You got to put down.
I'm saying I agree with you. I'm just saying money, like they could potentially do it. They could potentially do it.
The Lakers would have to swindle two franchises. Yeah, stuck in the
mud. I know.
They have never done that in one season.
I want to mention something to Eddie because he was talking about the early bird rights and stuff. So I was reading about this. So Christian Wood in 2020, it says here, however, having a player's early bird rights instead of his full bird rights puts a team at a disadvantage in other cases. For example, Christian Wood reached free agency in 2020. This was back in like October because of COVID and everything. His early bird rights only allowed the Pistons to offer a starting salary up to $10 million a year. A figure.
Yeah, that's the old CBA, brother.
Is that old? All right.
That's the old CBA. Now they could go with the early bird rights. You're right. I think it's only they could go over 120% of the current salary. But when they get to free agency, you could go to 175% now. That's why Jaylen Brown got such a fucking sick raise.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying, though. So the Knicks, so Hardenstein's making $9 million a year. So they get to free agency, the Knicks load up a contract, $16 million. That's the most they can offer. What if another team offers?
No, they can offer more than that. The Knicks can offer more.
They can offer more than $16
million
a year.
Yes. Right. What you're talking about is the early bird rights extension, which is only, I think, eligible to like the end of March. It would be him re-signing with the Knicks for like $60 million or whatever you mentioned, 4 years, $60 million. But yeah, in the summertime, then that's when they could go over what, you know, to the 175% marker. You get it? Because he's an unrestricted free agent. You could sign him much, you know, to a much higher deal. I mean, 175 is crazy. That's like $30 million a year. I'm just saying, you know, like.
No, 175 is $16 million a year. 175% is $16 million a year. So you got to go. It's just 175% of your previous salary. So 100% is $9 million. 175% is like $16 million.
What the fuck? Killing me with this math shit. What the fuck?
So there's a difference.
Listen.
I know. I hear you.
But also, there's Mike. There's another stipulation too in it too, where you could offer. Hold on.
Eddie. Let's save Eddie, Mike. Save that for the Nick and Knight show.
I gotta look into it.
There's
another stipulation where you could go 105% over the league salary average. So
yeah,
there's you could finagle this thing. It's not as set in stone as
maybe
you think.
I should write. I think I'll ask Fred Katz if he's gonna listen to me.
Chris, with all due respect, Chris, my guy, I'm about to close up shop, bro. I told y'all this is going to be an early post game today. Early. Real early. Because there's a lot else to get into. But I'm actually, like, moving around tonight and doing a couple things, too, myself. But this was a great space. Mike, I wish we could actually talk more. Yo, what's up, OG? Dan, I'm kind of mad we can't. Because I definitely want to go do some things tonight. I also got to work on a couple of things as well. But good win by the New York Knicks, man. Shout out to Deuce McBride. He's producing. He's obviously in the header of the title of this space because Deuce McBride has been a revelation for the New York Knicks. The Knicks are 6-1 now with OG and Anobi. Something very, very precious that we like to see. Another thing that we like to see is all of these young kids getting opportunities, man. Leon Rose, he sent Cam Reddish out to the Lakers. Cam Reddish right now tonight is doing cardio 0-0-0-1-0-0. So, you know, Obi Toppin, another guy, sent him off, gave him an opportunity. Obi Toppin has been doing well, actually, by the way. So shout-outs to Obi Toppin. Kevin Knox, doing well, by the way. Shout-outs to my boy Knox. RJ Barrett, I know you're a net negative right now in 2024, but you're doing well. I see what you're doing over there. Man, quickly, love what you're doing. You're a net positive in 2024 for the Raptors. Like what you're doing. I see you over there. So Leon Rose has put all these guys, even if we didn't want, in trades, and he sent those guys to places where those guys can flourish, and we could always love those guys from afar, but we got to stick with our squad. Shouts to OG and Anobi. The Nigerian, appreciate you. Got some. I think his father's from Britain, if I'm not mistaken. No, his father's from London. I think his mom's from Nigeria. Whatever the fucking case may be. Shout out to the OG and Anobi, man. Appreciate you playing hard and tough tonight. Very quiet points, by the way. I believe he had 20 tonight, if I'm not mistaken. Either at 18 or 20, man. It was real quiet.
18.
Oh, yeah, 18. All right, yo. Salute to man. I'm going to holler at y'all. It's your boy State. Let's all go to Knicks at night with my guy Eddie, my guy Deej. Peace.